from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Coughs and all kinds of, like, in slow dying noises. That's just Ryan, who's suffering from a disease.
From a horrible fucking cold that is... basically destroyed my life the past few days. I've just been lying around doing nothing. And I found out that my cold medication is no longer available because it was apparently too methy.
Wow.
I used to take Dimetapp.
Yeah?
And it was delicious.
This is what meth heads use or something?
Well, Dimetapp has an ingredient in it, apparently, that you know, you take and you grind it up and you do some kind of whatever. You can get... It's a partial ingredient. It's one of the many things that people with tweakers would go around and buy tons of.
Sure. Yeah, yeah,
so
absolutely.
They were trying to decide if they wanted to modify the recipe or just take it off the shelves. And they were like, just take it off the shelves. Because the ingredient that really kicks a cold's ass is that... methy ingredient, you know what I mean?
The one that methy makes it... goodness?
Yeah,
you don't even know what it is, though, right? Like, yeah. You don't know what it's called?
I don't know what it is. I could do some research and find out, but, you know, technically, do you really want to do meth when you have a cold?
I've never taken cold medication of my life, except for, like, maybe once or twice when it's serious muscle cramps and pain that you get from it. Mm-hmm. But generally, I find it's kind of BS. You know, a lot of not that they're psychosomatic, but a person's you know, like the things say will reduce your symptoms. Well, what does that will, may, or can help? That doesn't mean shit to me. You know what I mean? Can sometimes help alleviate symptoms. You take one, it doesn't do shit, and you're like, well, that was great.
Well, that's a surprisingly ignorant way for a person who says that they're all about you know, science and this and that to view how medication may or may not work on different people.
It's a cold. Okay, yeah. There is no cure.
Yeah.
What you're taking is basically
it's to mask the symptoms,
but it
and make you feel better,
makes you feel better, but then in a sense, like, all of a sudden you're like, I'm cured, and you do something horrible, and then all of a sudden your body just sort of, like, comes back and kicks your ass twice as hard.
Yeah, I know. Well, here I am doing this radio show and I should really just be lying in bed, you know, watching more episodes of can't watch Scrubs, can't watch Dexter. All shows have gone down the toilet. So I
all
guess I
TV
just,
has gone down the toilet.
It literally has. But that's neither here nor there. Just I wanted to ask you, have we ever discussed this on the radio show, the whole idea of, you know, how cold medication is supposed to mask your symptoms and to a degree make you feel better.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
Have we ever talked about the idea of the fact that there isn't a medication that you can just take just to feel really good?
There is such a medication. These medications are typically illegal because they make you feel so damn good.
Yeah. I always found that interesting, though, that there's such a huge pharmaceutical industry out there that's all about, you know, it's all about making you feel better, but there's that limit where they're like, we want you to feel good, but not that good.
You know what I always thought? I thought that the reason why most... you know, a drug is acceptable when it has side effects, like serious side effects that you have to wrestle with. You're saying, well, I'm taking this Percocet, but it has all these side effects, so therefore it's medicine. Mm-hmm. And then you take a look at, like, other drugs that are non-pharmaceutical, and their side effects are mild compared to, like, most, you know, designer drugs. And yet people are like, this drug is wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, if it comes in a pill form and it has, like, it's signed by a doctor, people are like, well, this is a trusted drug, and yeah. This drug is completely fine, I should be taking this. And you're like, what are you doing, you fool?
Well, what was that statistic about? The percentage of drug addicts and how many of them were just addicted to prescription medicines.
I don't know what the statistics are. I do know that it's pretty damn high. You know, yeah. Specifically with sleep aids, for instance, which are really common for people to be addicted to. Yeah. Painkillers, which is probably the most massive. Yeah, like the most you know, like the substance that's addicted to.
In a country where healthcare isn't taken care of, so many people are just on pain meds to manage the pain from things that they can't afford to get fixed.
Well, it's not even just that. It's the fact that, for instance, you know, some people just have chronic pain. It's never going to go away. I mean, you got arthritis. What are you going to do? I mean, they give you arthritis medication, but it fucks you up. And you know, when you're old, you got 20,000 other, you know, pills you're taking.
Yeah.
So they all interfere with one another.
Yeah.
I remember my sister. She was suffering from Crohn's, and they gave her a cocktail to try to, you know, save her. Well, no, to save her colon because it was basically being destroyed. So they give her steroids,
yeah.
But those were interfering with, like, certain types of cortisols will will destroy your muscle mass or something like that. Anyway, she was on this cocktail and she went crazy, man. She thought she was God and all these other kind of things. She bugged out, man.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as though each individual drug was producing the symptom. It was just the concoction of all of them. They were producing these really unstable, effects that nobody knew what the fuck was going on. You know, she was high. It was like as if she was on acid, you know, but none of those were supposed, individually, were supposed to give those, that kind of effect. So, you know, I think that in terms of how we manage prescription drug use is the fact that it's becoming a cocktail and I think kind of like a potential disaster. I'm like, anytime we can try to manage those things with like there are, I don't want to say traditional medicine,
you're trying to find that nice line between not saying, between saying take all these drugs because drugs is science and science is good, and saying, you know what, when there's a natural alternative, do it, but not fall over into that side where you're talking about homeopathy.
No. It's again, you know, it's one
and
of those
Mother Nature. And
yeah,
it's some mud on it.
It was. It's one of those crazy things where you have to admit that there. It is true that there are alternative. I don't want to say alternative medicines, but there are natural medicines that work quite well. Like for instance, you ever drink that shit called Brio? You know, it's like
it's that Italian
soda, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can use that to cure, what is it? Is it not tuberculosis or I forget what it is. But anyways, it's actually got quinine in it.
Yeah.
Which is itself like a medicine that's, you know, that you can take to, it's either malaria or tuberculosis. Yeah. I don't even remember.
Well, hey,
it doesn't matter.
Right now, I'm drinking this Amp Energy, which has guarana, taurine, ginseng, and vitamins B.
They put all kinds of ingredients in that kind of stuff. But, I mean, the point of the matter is that I think that we're often a little bit disdainful of some of those, you know, some of those older medicines. But they're based on trial and error, so we should definitely give them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there is a bit of a hesitation on the part of everybody that wants their drugs to be designer drugs.
Yeah.
I think the danger, again, is, though, even if you're dealing with natural medicine, like, say, you use St. John's wort to cure depression, which has been shown to help. Unfortunately, if you take St. John's wort and you have grape juice, it has all kinds of crazy side effects. Like, the point is, everything that you take, everything you put ingest in your body, it's going to have a reaction with something else. So you got to be careful about that shit. You really have to be careful. That's why I never suggest anybody to take alternative medicines on their own. I mean, like, consult your doctor. That's a good sign. But I mean, I don't know about you, but I've met so many damn doctors that are always wanting to write me prescriptions for shit, and I'm like, dude, man, I'm feeling a slight headache. I really don't need your prescription for like this massive, crazy drug, you know, that you're peddling. It's tough, you know. It's tough to figure out that line between, is he really trying to heal you, or is he pushing a product now?
It's one of those. It's one of those gray areas where I really think that we gotta look it over again, because it's all those presumptions that we have that, okay, well, science is good, and this is one of those areas that people have really embraced science, and they're like, okay, let's trust these drugs and everything else like that. But it's one of those cases where
is trust always merited?
Is trust always merited? Are these drugs really going to do what's best for me?
Well, I mean, it's especially with the fact that a lot of drugs that I consider to be helpful, other people consider to be harmful and bad. You know, it's kind of the same. Why does E, for instance, get such a bad rap?
What?
You know, like ecstasy.
Oh.
It gets a bad rap, right? But in terms of the types of drugs that people take, it's one of the mildest drugs, in terms of its effect on the body. And yet, fear-mongering everywhere.
I suppose it's because when people do die from ecstasy, it's so horrible because it cooks your internal organs. Or you drink too much water and you go through, what is it, hydrostabilization?
I forget what it's called.
Anyways, basically, you drink too much water and your electrolytes fucking freak out and you die a horrible death.
Well, most of the deaths from ecstasy are actually from dehydration. Mm-hmm. Like that's what happens. I mean, it's rare that you get, I mean, the guy who takes like 10 pills is gonna, yeah, he's cooking.
Don't say dehydration in that dehydration, like, oh, the guy in the desert died of dehydration.
He was thirsty.
It's your body overheats because you aren't using water to cool it, and your organs cook. They just cook, and it's not cooking like a burger. It's just high enough that they stop working properly.
But you know, it's funny at the same time that in places like Sweden, for instance, you can't get Tylenol over the counter, because Tylenol, like, take it, pop a few Tylenols and it's just as deadly. But nobody's afraid of Tylenol,
yeah.
You know, and that's just because Tylenol does have a recreational use. And as soon as something has a recreational use, that's when we get scared to death of it, because that's when people start abusing it.
Yeah, and that's when they start abusing it, that's when everything goes downhill for them, and then they become criminals, and then they're a burden on the state, and then blah, 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 and then you get outlawed. So I can understand to a certain degree.
Oh, sure, but I mean, people abuse painkillers all the time, but they don't become criminals or whatnot. They still maintain a, you know, certain degree of mobility, and they probably work, and they're probably people that you know, man. Like, how many people do you know are secretly addicted to crazy pharmaceutical drugs? Probably a lot more than you think, man.
Very
a lot
true.
More than you think. It's kind of scary. Okay, let's talk. I wanted to talk about.
Well, what do you got for the show today for us?
Well, what we have for the show today is we're going to talk about two things. The first thing we're going to talk about is the Atheist Bus Campaign in London that's revving up. Yeah, lots of people getting nice and angry and passionate about that. So we're going to talk about that again. And we're also going to talk about when religious freedom kind of you know, interferes with the well-being of children. But more on that later. Okay, let's talk about the Atheist Bus Campaign. Now, that's things heating up. There's all of these religious groups that are firing back. In case you didn't know, in London there was a bus campaign that basically said there probably is no God, so, you know, live life and enjoy it. Yeah. Well, the religious...
And we'd actually talked about this on an earlier show, yeah. And I think... I know what I said, but
you shit on it a bit.
I shit on it, and I think you shit on it as well. A little bit.
A little bit.
But I looked at it from the wrong point of view, because, again, as people pointed out, I'm a bit of a faux atheist, I suppose. Everybody from the last show that gave me an earful, I normally don't read the comments because I'm just kind of lazy that way, but I read it this time and it hurt. People were like, are you even really an atheist, good sir? And I'm like, man, I get my atheist creds attacked here.
Well, everybody said you were such a curmudgeon last show, so you were just grumpy.
I thought I was cheerful.
Oh my God, no. No, you were a grumpo.
Okay.
don't worry about it. No. You get your Daisy moody bitch.
But I mean, from my point of view as a person who isn't so much interested in atheism from the point of view of arguing with Christians over it, I was like, fail. But I completely ignored the fact that obviously they did this and Christian people lost their minds.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely flipped the fuck out.
I guess we hadn't thought about what the reaction from the religious side was going to be. We were only concerned about how it made us look as atheists. You know, I'm saying this is a bus campaign where you're putting there probably is no God. I'm just like, well, it's either kind of weak because you're not going all the way, or, I mean, is it even necessary? But we hadn't considered what the hell the religious people would do. And basically, they've gone nuts. So they started buying their own ads. The two most popular slogans right now is one where it says, there definitely is a God, so join the Christian party and enjoy life. And the other one says, "The fool, only the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." So that's kind of like the two, that's them striking back. And what's funny is the one that says there definitely is a God looks almost identical to the atheist one. You know what I mean? So at first it fooled me because I thought they were showing a picture to compare. And I was like, wait a minute, this is another Christian one. Very clever.
Let's hope they put that one out and then we could sue them for false advertising.
No, it's sued them because they copied our advertising. It's copyright violation.
Yeah. But I do want to admit, because I didn't look at it from the point of view of just causing a stir. That's what I mean. I crap on a lot of stuff. We were talking about the fake debaptizing at the atheist convention. We're like, oh, boo hoo, blah blah blah. And this is where I'm starting to realize maybe I am a bit of a like how atheists are a bunch of wet towels, and I guess I'm a bit of a wet towel in this way that whenever I see atheists engaging in arguments with religious people about it, I'm like, bah.
I don't want to do that, despite the fact that I have a show. I don't want to be part of the dialogue. I'm just part of the dialogue.
Well, I just, you know, I really want to state my case and position myself firmly in this idea as from who I am as an atheist and what I consider myself to be an atheist, what that means to me. Is that I just it what other people think doesn't affect me like it seems to affect a lot of other atheists.
It's just
not number one on my list.
It's just because of where we live too. I mean, we work from home. We don't go out and meet a lot of people. I mean, we live in a place that even though Quebec itself in Canada is very religious. I mean, Montreal is not really. I mean,
no,
and people our age. I mean, I don't think I've met many people that are actually claim to be very religious. Most of the people I meet are either agnostics or they're atheists like me. Yep. Or if they're agnostic, like they'll have a conversation with me and they'll stop being only agnostics. I'm fighting for you guys. I'm fighting. I'm converting people. Yeah.
Fighting for the eternal damnation of their souls. Yeah,
I love it. Mm. That's what I do. But yeah, like generally it doesn't influence us beyond kind of, you know, it influences you less too because you know, I'm still writing articles for the site, and you know, I have to maintain a certain level of passion for it, and, mm-hmm. and it's just that, you know, you don't have to because that's not the part of the site that you work on.
Yeah.
But I think the more that you start seeing that, the more you kind of, you know, it puts a little poker on your butt, saying I got to stop being, you know, an atheist just in a basement, and I have to kind of like try to reach out a little bit more.
I mean, here's the thing, I do want to say this.
Say it.
I read up a lot. I got all the atheist blogs actually on my RSS reader, and I do go through it all, and I read it all, and I see everything that's going on. And truth be told, the stuff that religious people are throwing out there, sometimes it is disturbing. But there are a lot more, many, many more disturbing trends going on in the world right now than say the most disturbing thing that the religious have done recently is obviously Prop 8, and basically that push against homosexuals. But past that point, I don't know, man. It's like I just see other stuff going on in the world that to me is a bigger deal. So again, maybe that's just me betraying my atheist beliefs and everything, but that's just where I stand on it, you know?
Well, maybe it's not betrayal. Maybe it's just the fact that the matter is that any place where, you know, you're not forced to, I don't want to say forced to choose, but I guess that's the best way that I can put it, you know, where when you're in a society that pits you, you're either with us or against us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and usually it'll be the religious ones, the guys that are trying to say that, be like, well, we can't trust you, you're evil, you know. I don't see a lot of people sort of like going around and making those assertions. Maybe if atheists were the majority, maybe they'd start doing that. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, you know. Will we be the majority? I don't think for a very long time. No, I don't think so. So we're probably going to still be kicking dirt around for long after my death.
Yeah, and creating bus ads just to cause controversy.
You know, when I saw those, I was just so delighted because, you know, you felt that they needed to counter, right? That ultimately my thought has always been that people that are religious are actually very deeply insecure. I mean, mm-hmm. think about it. Here you are going around telling everybody that you have the truth, and yet you're deadly afraid that people are going to reject your religion. I mean, why should you care? It's like if somebody told me, Jake, I have the ultimate truth for you. And, you know, I sort of listen to it, and I'm like, well, I can offer you the truth. I heard about it from this guy. It is pretty wicked. If you don't want to, too fucking bad for you, son. Too bad for you. But everybody else, like, you know, these religionists, they're like, ooh, you know, somebody's trying to take away my religion.
Yeah, but there's a little bit more than just a general insecurity. I mean, you got to understand, from these people's point of view, we're going to hell, you know? And from that, I can kind of understand it. And even in a strange kind of way, appreciate the fact that they're trying to convert people to save us. I mean, personally, I say that, obviously, as far as a religion goes, I would say the whole hell thing is a big downer. And I would like Christianity a lot more if it wasn't involved. But being as it is what it is, and people are believing in it, I'd say that I'm not going to take too much offense to the fact that these people are like, well, we got to save these souls. And I'm like, aw, that's so quaint of you.
No, you want to know why I think that they are insecure? I've been thinking about this a lot recently, and I was going to write about it in the book. And it's basically, my thought is, let's say there's a highly religious guy and an atheist, and they're in that foxhole, you know, the foxhole that everybody always claims that there are no atheists in?
Yeah.
Okay, well, how many people who are very deeply religious still have, like, a fundamental fear of death? Mm-hmm. You know, they may not admit it to you and me, mm-hmm. but if they're in a crisis situation, they're going to fight like crazy to get out of it. Mm-hmm. They want to live.
Yeah.
They want to fucking live.
Yeah.
Now, if you knew with 100% certainty
mm-hmm.
that as you died, you would go into the kingdom of heaven and enjoy an eternity of awesomeness,
mm-hmm.
if you were 100% convinced of that, how would you react to sort of like, you know, your standard, typical death situation? Calm as a fucking bird, right? I'm saying, here's what I'm saying. I'm not questioning the conviction in terms of, you know, an intellectual conviction,
mm-hmm.
but as an organism, as a creature of nature, your instincts will betray
mm-hmm.
that intellectual certainty, where your bodies will be like, we need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that human beings want to deny their animal nature because that's what the animal nature of them says. It says, what you're thinking is bullshit. I need to get the fuck out of here. I want to live. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, for if there's a homogeny of belief on the terms of everybody, they feel at least that some degree that, I don't want to say physical safety, but you feel more, even more assured of your belief. So that your instinct won't take over. You're like, I'm stand behind my conviction. I mean, think about the guys that, like the scariest of the fundamentalists who throw themselves in front of people with bombs strapped to them. You know, they don't hesitate. Their survival instinct is mm-hmm. overwritten by this conviction. Mm-hmm. But in truth, most people aren't like that, even though they secretly wish they had that degree of conviction. And that's the scary thing. I'm like, thank God for animal nature that seeks to survive rather than put its own platitudes ahead of it.
Yeah.
But I think that that's why they seek to have this homogeny of belief. Because the more people that they believe, the stronger that conviction will be, and the more they can override this often selfish nature that they have.
I'm going to say that you're ignoring two important aspects of this equation here. Number one, you're forgetting the fact that as animals, we have that powerful instinct to just fight against death. You know what I mean? There will always be that instinct in us. Like, sure, there's that instinct. You get up close to an edge and you're kind of like, one party's like, jump. But for the most part, your body's like, stay the fuck back. Don't even get close enough for your voice to say jump, for the other voice to say jump. Stay the fuck back.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before, though. I mean, but I wasn't denying that.
There's that aspect, and there's also the aspect of the fact that even if you know you're going to heaven, it's still a fucking, it's a pretty crazy thing. Think about this: you're in that foxhole, and all of a sudden you're going to get taken from that foxhole, away from all your family, all your friends, everything that you know, and just shot across the galaxy and put on another planet, and boom, there you go. It's pretty much the exact same thing. That would be terrifying to me, even if it was something awesome like heaven. It's a fucking scary prospect, and not everybody wants to leave, you know?
All right, well, look at...
I don't want to be the Elizabeth Hasselback here or anything like that, but I'm just saying.
Well, okay, look, I'm not... I don't want to deny the fact that you're right. I mean, it is still pretty damn scary, but I think that... you know, like even those terrorists that flew into the towers, you know, the Twin Towers. I mean, it's a good thing that death had to come really, was coming really quickly, because I think that if you're in a situation where your death is something that's slow and painful or whatever, your body's just going to be like, fuck this noise. You know, it's like the decision to jump off a cliff is a lot easier than slowly sawing off your own head, you know? Like if you're trying to saw off your own head, no, your body's going to stop you. So I think that the only way that we have normally to override that is through sudden kind of
explosive
action, because otherwise our bodies will always betray us. But that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, there's this awareness. We are aware of this, the fact that we seek to survive that hard. And if you were just like, and even the joy of thinking I'm going to be next to God, even that's not enough to stop your body from betraying you. And I think that that's why there is that fear. Mm-hmm. You know, like there is a secret fear within everybody that's religious that they are still not believing enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, that's a good thing. We don't need all of you to have a crazy conviction that you would slowly saw your heads off.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about extremism, is that it's always terrifying. In general, when people have a cause that they're willing to die for, it's like, God damn. It's like when those...
Be less passionate.
It's like when those people in Quebec were blowing people up over sovereignty, and I was like, Jesus Christ, it's sovereignty for Quebec! It really doesn't matter.
It's not a
matter.
Big deal.
It's like, you know, I can understand these people in Tibet are freaking out because they're kind of getting brutalized and everything else like that, but it is not the same in other places. It is not the same. If people aren't dying and getting put in jail forever and this and that, then you do not have the right to blow people up, because it's not that big of a deal.
It really isn't. Anything else you want to say about the bus campaign, or is that pretty much right?
You guys, the bus campaign guys proved me wrong. Good on them for doing it. You know, it's not the argument that I'm interested in having, but good on them, because it's all across the board, man. Times, Newsweek, everybody picked it up. Globe and Mail. It's in your face. All the newspapers picked it up. They did a good job of getting the word out, and they did a good job of getting the mainstream media to pick it up. And then, of course, the religious people, they took it and they ran with it, and that was foolish of them. They should have just ignored it.
Yep, exactly. They made the story even bigger. So,
exactly.
So predictable. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to another story. This is a story that I read in Time, actually, about a girl called Kara Newman, and she was an 11-year-old girl that was suffering from diabetes, and her parents chose not to, you know, call a doctor. Instead, they were kind of like one of these prayer guys. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the daughter dies, and now they are being prosecuted for neglect and could face a maximum of 25 years in jail found guilty. This is in... Actually, hold on a second. This is in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, basically, there's this... It's a big story because... You know, the parents are claiming that they want this is the First Amendment right, that they are allowed to, you know, that the separation of church and state allows them to not seek, you know, medical assistance if their doctrine calls for it and so on and so forth. But it's been like a time and time again in all of these cases or in similar cases, no one has found in favor of the parents ever.
Yeah.
You know, they like if it was a Jehovah's Witness that denied their kids blood transfusion, the state came in and said, too bad, you can't choose, you're not allowed to. And I think that a case like that has interesting repercussions because, you know, in the U.S., law is built on precedence. Mm-hmm. So
is this the first time it's being dealt with in America?
I guess in this dynamic, probably the first time.
Because, I mean, we've had so many cases where Jehovah's Witnesses have done this. I mean, I know of, like, several, and just in, like, Canada, just in, like, Winnipeg alone.
Oh, yeah, but...
These
guys weren't actually affiliated with any real physical church. It was actually only an online church.
Oh.
So they don't have... Like, their backing isn't what, say, the Jehovah's Witness backing would be.
It's so funny to think that you can do these stupid things, but depending on how powerful or how recognized your church is, it's like Jehovah's Witness or Scientologists are a little bit borderline, but they're still good enough. But if you're just an online church, then it's like you are screwed. Absolutely screwed.
What was the ministry is called the Unleavened Bread Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that means. Mm-hmm. Actually, I went to their site. It looks like it was designed in 1998.
Okay, here's the deal.
One of those crazy fucking, you know, TimeCube-like websites.
I'm gonna throw you a curveball. This might fail. This might be an epic fail, or it might be cool.
We're all about experimentation. All right, hit me, dude.
Okay, fucking society. It's a different society. Alternative universe, Watchmen style.
Sure.
You've got a government and even a medical system that is completely infiltrated by religious people. And part of their treatment of your child, your diabetic child, is that your diabetic child has to have some kind of ridiculous exorcism prayer thing.
Okay.
Are you going to go along with that? Or are you going to go, I refuse to let my child have that done to him?
So you're trying to switch it up, saying like if medical science was actually religious.
I know it doesn't fit perfectly, but tell me what you think.
Okay, well actually I'll deal with an exorcism as kind of its own thing in your example because I have no choice. But most of the time exorcisms are fairly benign things, but there are many instances of exorcism going terribly, terribly wrong, and people dying of that. So I don't think I'd need to look very far at finding some tragic instances of when exorcisms go wrong and suddenly say, get your religion out of my damn, you know, medical science. I think the point is, the reason why the argument doesn't stand, at least as a contrast to this, is that because medical science isn't based on a particular bias of, you know, of any religious belief. It's just based on the idea of, here's a theory of, say, modern theory of germs, and this is how we treat it. And in terms of ideologies, it's not interested in ideologies, other than maybe the Hippocratic Oath, right? But, you know, like a disease... Kara had diabetes. Mm-hmm. She died because they did not give her insulin. They did not believe that insulin, should be injected in a child, and that prayer should be the only thing to try to, you know, cure it. Now, in the old days, diabetes used to be a child killer. You know, they'd call it their starvation disease. They'd feed these kids, like, so much food, and yet they were wasting away because they couldn't process any of the sugar. So they were dying of starvation. Mm-hmm. Like, how creepy would that be? Like, imagine a day where you don't even understand enough about the body, and that people are starving to death despite fucking having all this food. You would think there was some kind of crazy curse on them, right?
Yep.
And I mean, because of modern medical science, we know why that happens. We just, like, their pancreas stops working. They don't produce insulin, which in turn doesn't allow them to use the sugars to transform into energy. And all kinds of medical problems occur because of that. Gangrene, starvation, blindness, whatever. All kinds of problems. But the point that I'm trying to bring across is the fact that Kara was her own person. Her parents could choose for themselves to not treat their diabetes. It is within their right. They are adults. But as parents, they have a particular obligation. The obligation is not first a religious obligation. It is to ensure the survival of their child. They are that child is in their custody, right? But we have a there's a certain kind of like a thing in society that we all agree upon, that an individual's right to survival surpasses even the rights of a parent. Like if you are neglecting your child, the state's going to take it away, and we normally don't have a problem with that because we're saying that individual should be allowed to survive, and when they're an adult, they get to make their own decisions. But Kara was 11 years old. She didn't have the necessary capacity and understanding to protect herself. And her parents fucking failed. Now, I don't care if they're sad. They must be devastated. Of course they are. But they're also very ignorant. And it was their carelessness that allowed her to die. I mean, they still called the doctor right when she had sort of gone into a coma or whatever. It was too late by then. So they even knew what they were doing. They knew that there was a goddamn cure, but they chose to pray. And when they made that choice, they set in motion all of the things that are happening now. So if a person wants to say, well, this is a First Amendment issue, I'm like, this is not a First Amendment issue. This is an issue about, you know, neglect, about... You know, that turns into a death. I mean, this is a serious degree of neglect. It would be like, well, I don't believe that my I'm a vegetarian. I don't think my child should eat meat. And then you decide not to give them all these nutrients that they need to live, and all of a sudden they die. Would you then say, well, you know, that was his belief. He should be able to raise his child as he wants, a vegetarian. I'm like, you have a duty to feed your kid. If you can't feed your kid right, you fucking go to jail. It's that simple. And I'm like, I regard this sort of religious freedom in the same kind of way. As an adult, you're allowed to practice however you want. If you're a vegetarian and you don't want to eat anything at all and you fucking die of starvation, well, you tried. You know, you gave it your shot. You wanted to live according to your life, but turns out you got that formula wrong.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to raise your kid as a breatharian, basically.
No, exactly. You cannot raise your kid as a breatharian because it's still your own personal belief. You can inculcate that belief in them, and when they're an adult, they can choose to believe in it or not, but it's their choice, man. And this is why I'm saying, like, you know, it's a terrible tragedy, and even on the parents' part, I mean, I don't want to see them necessarily prosecuted, but you know what? They made their choice, and now they have to pay the fucking piper. Everybody's got to pay the piper. You can't just walk away and say, well, I feel bad. Bad feelings don't equate, you know, any actual real justice. Oh, you feel bad? Oh, that's too bad. You should have really thought about that before you went to a shitty website done in 1998 that talks about how the end times is coming and decided, this is how I want to live my life. Well, you made a mistake, dude. You made a goddamn giant mistake, and you're going to pay for it, not just with the death of your daughter, but probably with the incarceration of your ass. And I'm like, I'm not going to feel sorry for you. You made a fucking mistake.
I'm going to feel sorry for him, but at the same time, it's not going to stop me from trying to set up freaking rules and laws and precedents and stuff that keeps this kind of thing from happening more often. Because I'm sure it must happen a lot more than we
imagine. Well, they say that since there's a website for it. I forget what it's called, actually. I'll try to find it and post it up. But, I mean, I think it's been estimated that since the 1980s, there's been at least 300 to 500 children that have died just as a consequence of that neglect due to kind of like religious belief. I don't want to call the doctor. My child's sick, but I don't believe in doctors.
Yeah.
And this is a conservative estimate. I mean, there are countless websites that sort of like show, here's kids that took place in one of those snake charmer things that got bit and died, or just all kinds of crazy, nutty shit that, you know, is caused by superstitious belief in religion. Yeah.
What do you think, just touching back and going a couple weeks back to that whole Scientology thing with
the Travoltas? Yeah.
Do you think that their religion had anything to do with what happened to their son?
Absolutely. Basically, their son died of a seizure caused by their autism, but they deny that autism existed, so they didn't seek any treatment. You know, like there are certain treatments that you can give a kid, you know, certain types of drugs that take I think derivatives of Ritalin, for instance, that allow them to sort of like you know, concentrate more and deal with their disease. But Scientology says this disease does not exist. You know, they don't think that any, that all mental disease can be cured with fucking vitamins. So the kid dies of a seizure and nobody does anything because it's a death from a seizure, and it could have happened regardless of whether or not they treated it. Mm-hmm. Was it less likely to happen if they would have gone and tried to give him a drug treatment? Absolutely. He would probably still be alive. I guarantee you 90% chance or 95% chance he would still be goddamn around. But they decided, oh no, You know, Scientology says it doesn't exist, therefore it doesn't exist. It angers me that nobody even called, like, neglect on these motherfuckers.
Lots and lots and lots of people did.
I'm talking, like, I'm talking a State Department calling neglect. Not just fucking some blogger like me. I'm talking, like, some real people saying, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the same people that decide, well, postpartum depression is going to be treated with vitamins. No, that's not a good idea. Then they wonder, why did the mother put the baby in the oven? You know, kind of crazy stuff happens when people have mental illnesses. You need to give them drugs. Like, how do they want to treat people that are schizophrenic? What, give them vitamin B? Is that what you want to do? Not a good idea. These people are seriously messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd be messed up, too, if you heard crazy voices in your head. You know, I don't think you want, vitamin Z pill or something like that. You want... Mm-hmm. Some actual real drugs. So I think that, you know, we need to stop. My whole thing is we need to stop kind of like placating these people, saying mm-hmm. like, no, your religion is fine. That's your relative truth. No, we know this stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not making guesses.
Well, here's an interesting point. I mean, this only comes up when it happens, you know. But we know. I mean, it's on the books that Scientologists are anti-medication and they don't believe in all these different diseases, and it's on the book that Jehovah's Witnesses refuse blood transfusions and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Why is there not a more proactive stance being taken where these kinds of laws are being legislated and set up where it's like, listen, it doesn't matter what you believe about these things here. If you have a minor that is this or that, then you have to go to the doctor. Like, why is it that this kind of thing just falls under a generalized manslaughter thing, and every single time it's brought up over and over, that argument between First Amendment rights and the laws
pertaining to the protection of minors?
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. I think that one of the bigger problems is that people who make laws, you know, that politicians don't mm-hmm. want to piss religious people off because that's their demographic.
Yeah, but
and
it's
as soon as you open that door, then a person's saying, well, what about you know, what about my religious beliefs? And I mean, I understand the fact that they have this fear because that's how laws are. You know, you pass one and all of a sudden
it opens up the door
for a whole bunch of other ones. I think that we should be able to kind of understand, you know, each of us without a law being there that if your kid dies due to your neglect, it doesn't matter if it was part of, your religious beliefs. You're going to be prosecuted.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be one of those things that are even discussed. It's like, that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Your duty is to make sure that your kid lives. If your kid dies, you are held responsible. Doesn't matter what the circumstances were. You know, if it was an accident, then people can understand. But if it was willful lack of action
mm-hmm.
that caused that, you are responsible. You know, I didn't kill my kid. Well, you didn't feed him any food. Like,
yep.
Of course you're responsible for his death. When you have a child, you take on that responsibility. It's just, if you don't want to, you give your kid up to the state. You know, you have that choice still. But once you say, no, I'm going to take care of him, you know, that's a huge burden on you. And you have to face the consequences of failure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's my advice. I mean, kids are great and stuff. You have to understand, though, that you are taking a huge responsibility. And your religious freedoms... unfortunately, are going to come in conflict with the survival of your minor, and you will find yourself in fucking jail if you don't do the right thing. So, you know, kind of wake up from your religious fog for a second. See that the world is a little bit bigger than, a website that probably has like 200 or 300 visitors a day. Like, the world is a bit bigger than a mm-hmm. than a fucking...
The world is bigger than the Good Atheist?
It's even bigger than us.
I
know, it's hard to imagine. With over 100,000 downloads,
yeah.
The world is even bigger than us.
Yeah.
All right, I guess that covers pretty much my rant. Was there anything else you wanted to say about it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm all good with it.
All right, well, we'll see each other next week for another radio show. People who listen, make sure to come and visit the site. It's thegoodatheist.net. I mean, it's updated daily except for on weekends because, I mean, I need 2 Sabbath days. Well, I try to update sometimes on a Saturday when it's really busy, but Sunday, that you ain't touch my Sunday. I'm just like, I'm having a break on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, visit the site. I mean, it's the other part of the... If you love the show, you love the site. I mean, we don't just do one thing. We do multiple things. Isn't that right?